listening to the Survival in Motion podcast. Learn, adapt, prepare, survive.
Hello, everyone. This is author Cal Wilson. Welcome to another episode of the Survival in Motion podcast. On today's episode, what I'm going to be talking about is ideas I have to make your house less inviting to be broken into by a burglar. And before I get to that, I've got a couple of housekeeping matters, more of a rant. My family, we've been moving, and it's amazing in retrospect how much junk you accumulate in a fairly small amount of time. So not only have we been moving stuff, but we've been packing up stuff that we really don't need, just throw away. That's been a major, major thing in the life of our family for the last several weeks. It's like all I've had time to do is just eat, sleep, work. I take bathroom breaks as needed. I pack stuff up. I move it. I throw stuff away. I unpack stuff, which we still haven't finished, and we go to church. For the last several weeks, there's been like no downtime at all. I mean, the thought of just sitting down and just staring off into the sky and being bored is just completely a remote thought for me. It's been a very busy several weeks, and I'm looking forward now to this all being done, you know? In fact, we're mostly done. There's one thing that I did do before all this started. I had a great interview with Dr. Walt Browning, who is an author of several really good books, a couple of books on post-apocalyptic issues and a couple of military books. He's a very good writer, in my opinion, especially in the fact that he's never been in the military. And I asked him about that. How is it your books sound like you're right in the heart of the military and you've never even been in the military? I thought it was a great interview that we had. The problem is it's still in quote-unquote post-production, which means that it requires a lot of editing and polishing on my part, which I just haven't had time to do. So that interview is still going to be coming out hopefully soon, but I just haven't had time to edit it. But in the meantime, check out his books. Walt Browning is his name. He's written several really good books, including one book or a couple of books that he's co-written with the misnamed author, Angry American, who is actually a friendly guy. So anyway, that was a good interview. And I think it has more of what I think you're going to see here on Survival in Motion, which is just basically a good conversation between two people. I think that's one thing I like with other podcasts, is if you can get a couple of friendly people who like and respect each other to just have a conversation. It's interesting. With Dr. Walt Browning, he laughed at my jokes. I laughed at his jokes. I asked him questions, he answered, and then I said, oh, that would remind me of this, and then he'd say, yeah, that kind of reminds me of this too, and so we'd kind of have a good conversation going. And like I said, he's a friendly guy. There's one movie from like 30 years ago that kind of had the right idea as far as just listening to a conversation. I don't think it had good execution because the topics were kind of bizarre. The movie I'm talking about is My Dinner with Andre. It's kind of nails on a chalkboard to watch that movie, but it's an interesting idea, which is just watching a couple of people have a good conversation. And I do think there will be more of that here at the Survival in Motion podcast. I've got another rant. My Venezuelan translator, or I should say my Spanish translator from Venezuela, who worked on the Spanish translation of my book, Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping, she has vanished. I was preparing a podcast with her where I would just ask her, what is it really like in Venezuela nowadays? I've heard nothing but bad news about Venezuela and how horrible things really are there and how people are starving. There's no water. There's no toilet paper. Grocery stores are empty. And I was going to ask her, let's hear the details. What's it like day in, day out in Venezuela? Is it really as bad as I think it is in all the factoids that are in the internet? I have a whole list of them, but she's just vanished. And it kind of proves my point what a disaster socialism is. I thought that was going to be a good podcast because it's my belief that that could happen here in the United States. So I think we as preppers need to keep an eye on Venezuela about how bad things are there, that that really could happen here. So it's relevant here in the United States. All right, here's a related rant I have. As disastrous as Marxism and socialism has proven to be through the decades, it always seems like there's a bunch of young people who are enthusiastic about giving it another try and bringing it here. And a recent example is this woman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who won the Democratic nomination in the 14th Congressional District of New York. It's kind of sad and it's depressing at the same time because here she is so enthusiastic about socialism, and the reasons she gives are just kind of slogans. Like, all she's heard are just stuff she's read from flyers or something. I mean, there's no depth to her reasoning. I guess being a recent college grad, it's understandable that she's liberal, as they all are, but it's totally vacuous as to her reasons and her thinking. It kind of reminds me of that podcast I had a few weeks back on how to begin homeschooling. That this woman, who's a recent college grad, by the way, Ocasio-Cortez, she's a recent graduate from college. And not only does she have all the usual wacky liberal ideas, but the way she has of explaining them and advocating them are just extremely shallow. And if you're fine with your kid growing up to be like that, that's okay. But if you want your son or daughter to grow up and to have some kind of depth, to have some kind of historical perspective of all this, and at least be able to back up their conclusions with some kind of attempt at being persuasive, then you have to homeschool your kid. You know, to teach them to have some discretion, to have some perspective or something. It reminds me of that statement, those who don't learn from history are condemned to repeat it. That's meant to be a cautionary comment. It's not meant to be a rallying cry. Okay, on to the main part of this podcast episode today, which is my ideas that will make your house less tempting to a burglar. And before I get to those specific ideas, I have a story. My wife, when she was a teen, when she was a child and when she was a teenager, I think it's fair to say she had a tumultuous home life. I don't need to get into details, but I'll just say that she had to live in a foster home. And the woman who took her in as her foster mother, this happened when my wife was maybe 15 or 16 years old. This woman who took in my wife way back then as her foster mother, this woman sounds like she had a heart of gold. A Christian, she was very active in her church. She lived alone, she was a widow, and she took in my wife, like I said, when my wife was 15 or 16. And they got along very well. And one night, my wife woke up to the smell of smoke and came out of her bedroom and noticed part of the house was on fire. She banged on the bedroom door of her foster mother and said, "Hey, the house is on fire. We need to get out of here." And the two of them skedaddled out of the house. Eventually, it was found out that this house had recently been burglarized. And in fact, not only was it burglarized, but somehow this burglar had accidentally set off a fire. I don't know the details there, but it's not in dispute. In fact, the burglar, who was a woman who was strung out on drugs looking for things to steal and sell and support her drug habit, that burglar was prosecuted and convicted for burglary. And there's probably an enhancement, you know, when there's a house that burns down during the burglary. So this burglar was sent to state prison. Now, I've talked in the past about how I'm a Christian, and I know that total forgiveness is something that, as a Christian, I'm supposed to do, but I think it's a shortcoming of mine. I'm not able to totally forgive as I know I should. But this foster mother was able to totally forgive this burglar, and you know, I would go to court and say, hey, judge, lock up this burglar and throw away the key. But that was not the case with this foster mother. The foster mother took my wife then and went into state prison to visit this convicted burglar. And as a side note, many years later, this burglar got out of state prison and joined that church and became a pretty devout Christian. And so there's a happy ending to that story. But during the visits to state prison, this foster mother and my wife at the time got to know this burglar. And at times they asked this burglar, you know, hey, what was going on? Why were you breaking into this house? They found out about the fact that this burglar was hooked on drugs, looking for things to steal and support her drug habit. But they also found out some ideas on how to make a house less tempting to a burglar in the future. So these are the ideas that I'm going to share with you here today. And this is mostly where these ideas are from, is my wife and her foster mother at the time talking with this convicted burglar. Okay, what did this convicted burglar have to say as far as advice to make your home less likely to be broken into? Now, this list is not by any means exclusive. I just wanted to share a few ideas from this person who had burglarized a number of homes through the years. And here's some of the ideas that she gave. Number one is all animals. All animals deter burglars. And you might think, well, of course, a dog. Yeah, sure. But this burglar said even a cat and even birds, anything that would possibly create some noise if somebody broke in. My suspicion about cats is that they would just kind of sit there and watch the burglary happen, and then they couldn't care less. But this burglar said that even cats. But the thing is, I seriously think a yelpy dog is best to avoid having your house being broken into. A yelpy dog, as opposed to like a Great Dane type dog, a huge dog. You want to avoid the burglar even getting in. And a yelpy dog, like a small Jack Russell Terrier or something like that, would be the first on the scene if a window was broken or whatever, and just continue yapping until the burglar would leave, as opposed to like a Great Dane or a Rottweiler or something, which would quietly watch the burglar come into the house and just kind of figure, well, that's going to be my next meal. You don't even want to go that far. And I'd also add getting beware of dog signs and just putting those outside. That's kind of a bluff. And I figure if they see a beware of dog sign, they might figure, well, there's a dog inside, so therefore I'm not going to break into that house. And they'll move along to the next house and think about breaking into that house. And by the way, I'm going to have some links on Amazon to some of these items. And it's linked to the affiliate account on Survival in Motion, so I get a little bit of a kickback, just so you know. Here's another thing. Timers on lamps that are turned on. Make sure you draw the curtains so a burglar can't look into the window and notice that the room is empty. Draw the curtains in such a way they can still see the light go on and off, and have some lamp turned on and hooked into a timer so it turns on and off once an hour. And ideally, if you can do that, the same thing on the other end of your house, and have one lamp turn on just as the other lamp is turning off, and then vice versa throughout the night, that way you will convince a potential burglar that there are people home, even if there aren't. And I would also refer you to the movie, which is a Christmas classic, but it's also good on burglary advice, which is the original Home Alone movie, when that character Kevin had strong reason to believe that his family's house would be broken into. So he drew the curtains and set up, it looked like a whole party filled with 50 people in there. That's a good movie, by the way. Here's another thing that would help deter your house from being burglarized, and that is the outdoor wireless solar-powered lights. And the unit cost on these is getting really cheap. And yet the quality is still very good. And like I said, they're wireless. So you don't have to hook these up into the wiring of your house. These things are self-contained. We bought one a few years ago and put it outside of our chicken coop. And I think it did a pretty good job of deterring raccoons and foxes from attacking our chickens. And these things last. When we bought it, the brand was InnoGear, but recently I bought, it looked like the same thing, except the brand was AOOTEK, A-O-O-T-E-K. So many of these just have the same feel. So it might be the same company cranking them out, just in different brand names, I don't know. But it's a solar-powered thing, and solar, even small solar panels are getting very cheap nowadays. I think the system for these lights are not only the LED lighting, which is takes next to no electricity at all to light up your whole backyard or your driveway or whatever, but also in the middle of this thing is probably a very good in-a-loop rechargeable battery. And I've raved about in-a-loop rechargeable batteries. That's the name of the best mass-produced rechargeable battery, in-a-loop. And La Crosse, I believe, is the best brand for recharger for batteries. Portable recharger, I think Goal Zero is still the best, but it has yet to have a price reduction there. Goal Zero is a pretty good small solar-powered battery recharging system, except it's still pretty pricey. Anyway, what you can do with these self-contained solar-powered lights is hang them up on the side of your house. Or you can even just leave them on the front lawn, just not connected to anything. My family did that recently after we moved because we haven't had time to wood screw them into the side of the house. But you can just leave them on the front lawn, and that way anybody who comes up, the motion detector part will turn on the lights. In fact, we have so many of these things hooked up and around the house that if anybody even thinks about walking onto our front yard, the whole front yard will light up. These things are great, and I'll have a couple of links on the show notes here. All right, now I hope that this is kind of common sense. When it's dark outside and you're inside your house and the light is on inside, I hope it's kind of common sense that somebody outside the house can easily look in versus somebody inside the house cannot clearly look out that well. So the way you remedy that, besides pulling the curtains closed, well, duh, is by planting a cactus or some kind of a thorny bush right outside your window. And some of these are kind of nasty. There's something called euphorbia, and there's also solanum, which are pretty thorny, ugly bushes, but they do great right outside your window. In fact, they're so thorny and so hideous that it's almost like if your house was on fire and you jumped out the window, you'd probably wish that you had just stayed inside the house and burned to death instead of gotten caught up in this thorny bush. They're really thorny. So it would make people very hesitant to stand outside your window and try to look in. And while you're at it, it might be a good idea, instead of just bushes that do nothing but have thorns, it's also possible to have cactuses or cacti that produce prickly pear, and that's something that you can eat, obviously, after you cut off the thorns. Or aloe is pretty prickly, and aloe vera produces this great gel, which is fantastic for your skin. And I've known that people will also put it into fruit drinks and stuff. It's good for you as well. And you can buy all this at your local nursery or online at naturehills.com, and there are some other online nurseries as well. There's also something lately, Wi-Fi controlled outlets, and this is something that I have not had any experience with, but they're sold on Amazon. The idea is that if you have Wi-Fi in your house, you can buy these and then plug them into your wall outlet and then control them by an app on your phone. So it's possible to turn on and off stuff wherever you are. You can be hundreds or thousands of miles away from your house and use an app on your iPhone to turn on or off various outlets in your house. So that looks interesting as well. All right, when you're gone from your house, I hope this is kind of common sense, but it still bears repeating that if you get your mail delivered and for several days, if it's not picked up, then a burglar will know that the owner of the house or the occupants of the house have been gone for several days. So it's a good idea to tell the mailman, hold my mail for several days. And newspapers, remember those? I don't know if they still have those and they get delivered, but same idea there, that you need to tell the newspaper delivery person not to deliver your mail while you're out of town. On the other hand, I'd like to add this, that you need to be able to trust these people, because I can imagine a mailman or some employee of the Postal Service or a newspaper delivery guy, you know, that's good information for a burglar. If you tell them, hey, I'll be gone for a week and a half, so don't deliver the newspaper during these dates, that's probably pretty valuable information for a burglar. So you got to be able to trust these people. It might be a better idea if you have a trusted neighbor to ask your neighbor, hey, can you pick up my newspaper and my mail for these days? All right, here's one last thing I wanted to mention. And this is not something that the burglar mentioned to my wife and her foster mother. But I've seen this in action. The brand is Ring, R-I-N-G, and they make a doorbell that is sold on Amazon. And this is something that you do need to wire into the wiring of your house. But here's how it works. Somebody rings the doorbell, and this Ring doorbell has a camera and also a microphone and also a speaker. So when somebody rings the doorbell and you've got this set up and you've got the app on your phone, you can quote-unquote answer the doorbell by that speaker from your iPhone. So you can be hundreds or thousands of miles away. Every once in a while, a burglar will just come up with some excuse to come to the front door and knock on the door, ring the doorbell, and say, I'm on the wrong street or whatever, just to see if you're there. So it's a good idea to have this Ring system hooked up to your doorbell and then get the app so that you can, quote unquote, answer the doorbell, no matter where you are, by your iPhone. Just think of the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, when he had this set up by cassette tape, that somebody would ring the doorbell and Ferris, who was acting like he was sick, just said, yeah, hello, can I help you? And that kind of thing. It became apparent as the movie went on that this was just a recording, but it's a similar idea with this Ring doorbell. And here's another thing, as far as Ring goes, this might be just the first Ring product you can get, because there are several cameras that you can hook up all around your house and hook into the same iPhone app. And a friend of mine from church had one of these, and he showed it to me. It was amazing. I was at a church retreat, and this friend showed me, you know, look, this is a view of the side of my house. And a week ago, somebody came up to the gate, and they were about to enter the backyard. And anyway, it was a very impressive system. Ring is the brand. And I'm going to have a link here where you can buy the Ring doorbell. But there are other products by Ring that are great. Anyway, hope you found this episode of the Survival in Motion podcast entertaining and educational and informative. I hear the music. That means our time is up. Thank you for joining me. God bless.